Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Last game was against the Nashville Predators. It was an ugly one. They get blanked 4-0 by a team that had not won a game yet. And again, it's early in the season, and I don't want to make it seem as though I'm giving up on this team or anything, but it has not been a particularly auspicious start. And there's a couple of reasons you could point to. I think one of them, though, comes to us from Elliot Friedman over at Sportsnet Canada, and it's one that I really agree with. He says, the eye test isn't pretty, but the theory is that the Bruins' two games with Florida messed them up. And they played them twice in the first week there. The playoffs are for taking numbers and dealing with things next season. Bruins desired that. It was a pointed topic of discussion. But the Panthers beat them twice and did not allow Boston to gain any satisfying measure of physical payback. Any arguments so far? I mean,
nope.
That's exactly what happened.
It's what it looked like.
100% what happened out there. There's been a lot early. Jeremy Swayman's contract stalemate. Montgomery going hard at Brad Marchand on the bench. Yelling doesn't bother me as long as it's a rare occurrence. I'd be more worried if it happened often. It's early in the season and starting already, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
Friedman goes on to say, a couple sources pointed out that they don't like coaches only make examples of young players or fourth liners, and Montgomery isn't afraid to criticize his star. That's not something I'm particularly bothered by, but again, we'll circle back to that. They don't look like themselves, but repeatedly made us look like fools for anticipating their demise. High IQ team that isn't itself right now and needs a restart. Again, personal opinion, says Friedman, but I thought those Florida games really threw them and reminded us that the Panthers are still a force. That may not end up making a difference when the season's all said and done, but as far as the start to the year, it's hard to really discount what those two games were, how much of an impact they had on the Bruins and what they thought this season beginning was going to look like or at least feel like. Even if you lost those games to the Panthers, you know, you expected them maybe to go a little bit differently. You got nothing out of those two games.
Mm-hmm.
You got beat on the road. You got beat at home. You watched them raise the banner and they beat you. Whatever. I mean, it was bad all around. And I overreacted to it maybe a little bit, but I do think that there was some more weight to those games than there would have been if it was two games against any other team in the league. You know, the Florida Panthers, that's the team that's ahead of you right now. That's your current boogeyman du jour, and the Bruins have a new one every couple of years, but right now it's the Florida Panthers, and that was a tough, tough start, and I think that that's affected them, absolutely.
And he makes the leap from the Panthers to the Marchand thing, which I think is a pretty big leap, actually.
Yep.
But, you know, we all do it to make points and pull things together, tidy up. But I also think that could be an example of the lame duck coach feeling his lame duck status and trying to, hell, we've been talking about it. Maybe Gerard Mayo should actually do some coaching. Is this an example where maybe he lashed out a little extra to sort of emphasize that I am doing what's required to pull out of this? I am coaching the hell out of this team for a better look. I'm showing you what's going on. And that doesn't happen maybe if he has a contract. And if he's not, he's playing for his job, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's no other way to look at that.
He's like, coaching for his job, but yeah.
I mean, coaching for his job, mm-hmm. Sorry. But playing the games for his job, like that reality. And there's been a disconnect right now between maybe expectations and results. And maybe it'll just all play itself out sort of organically. The slow start with the goalie, who, somebody got on me all pissy earlier. Like, I don't think Swayman's been terrible, but I don't think he's been great.
No, he's definitely not been great.
And
I thought he was good in that Nashville game. I mean, he was under siege the whole game, and I thought held his own pretty well. But
the reality is, the stat I cited is goals allowed over expected
goals, right?
Like,
yeah.
So, like, that takes into account everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't always buy that crap. I just want to be honest here. When I shoot it down and now I use it for an argument, I'm like kind of being a little bit hypocritical or whatever here. But that's taken into account, Texter, in terms of that stat. And I don't think he's been great. So when he plays better, okay. When the D in front of him plays a little bit better, okay, we'll take a step forward. Maybe if the first line, whatever formation it takes, starts scoring goals, like that'll, each one of those incrementally will take some pressure off that may be building early in a season for this team. But there's no way you can look at those two Florida games in a week and say, yeah, that's not a big deal. We're not worried about that. Like, no, history doesn't matter. We'll be fine. Those are just two games out of 82. No, they weren't. They were more than two games out of 82, especially
yep.
when they were two out of your first four.
Exactly. And I think if you asked anybody on that Knicks team right now or any Knicks fan, how'd that feel getting you embarrassed
right.
by the Celtics on opening night, watching them raise the banner, and then go out and beat you by 30, and they're hunting the record and chucking up threes with Xavier Tillman at the end of the game? They probably say, yeah, you know what? That's a little different than if we went out there and lost to the Sixers last night or the Bucks or the Pair, whoever. They spent an entire offseason trying to put a roster together to compete with the Celtics, and the Celtics dog-walked them all up and down Causeway Street the entire night. It was great. But, you know, like, you know what that feels like, and you know that that can throw a team off, especially a team with big expectations, and the Bruins always have that. And now it's the Panthers or the team in front of them. That's a team that last year they competed neck and neck with for the Atlantic Division basically all season. You know, this isn't like some team that they're never going to see. Like, they're going to be looking up and down at them in the standings all year long. And right now they're only two points back. And that's the other thing. Bruins are not off to a great start, but no one really is. No one in the Atlantic Division is off to a great start. The first place has 9 points, and I think last place has 5. So, you know, like, everybody's kind of right there in the middle. Everybody's right around 500, as Razor said earlier with Jones and Keefe, and I sort of agree with that. If there was one team that was just hit the ground running, like in the Metropolitan, I want to say it's the Rangers, or maybe, yeah, the Rangers are off to a great start. They're 5-0-1, and they've got 11 points, and they just look hot right now. Like, there's a team like that in the Atlantic, then I'd say, okay, you know, this start could maybe put them in a bit of a hole here, put them behind the eight ball a little bit. It's not a great start, but they're not behind the eight ball very much. They're a couple points back of first place, and I think that eventually things are going to start to straighten out. They're not going to play Florida again until, what, January? I mean, it's going to be a while before you see them again. So you're going to have to beat up on the Buffaloes and the Detroits and the Montreals of the world, and you're going to have to hold your own against teams like Dallas, who are coming in here right now, who were good last year and are off to a good start this year. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, the Panthers are going to be your boogeyman, but you have to worry about all these other teams. Now, you can't be going out there losing to Nashville, getting the turnovers against Utah, which is what Montgomery was yelling at Marchand about there, a turnover that led to a goal, to the Utah Hockey Club. I mean, this is, you know, you gotta take care of that business at least.
And the comparison to the Knicks, the difference is I would give them a pass for the whole in their building, banner, energy, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, you played them a week later, and you also got smoked.
Right.
So you had your chance at home. Like, you had a chance to change something, and you didn't change anything. And so the narrative is what it is. And you're right. They are actually fortunate that they are in the division they're in, because 11 Rangers 5-0-1 atop the Metropolitan, and then out west, Winnipeg 6-0. You could be in a division where the team is 6-0 or 5-0-1 Calgary. So you're kind of fortunate you're in a place where you can dig a little hole, and it's not that deep of a hole. Yeah, early in the season. Because remember the old days? It was like, whatever you do by Thanksgiving, and I don't know if this still holds true, that's where you were. Like, the NHL standings were...
And not Canadian Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving.
Right, U.S. Right. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, I mean, Thanksgiving's not that far away, right? We're a month away. Is it
close?
Probably a month from... It's probably a month from today.
Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday? So. It feels like it would be a month from today, so...
I believe that's right.
Yeah, you might want to snap out of it and start playing better hockey. And some of the new guys... There's Zadorov. I think there's some criticisms of him that he looks a little... you've mentioned this, the bigger, slower, like they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like one of those guys, bigger, slower, not overly athletic, that is playing a role. But I also would just get back to, if your stars play like they're supposed to, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
To me, that's how I would set it, like, put it all down. This isn't the Patriots where you have to search for answers.
Right.
I think I know the answers. Their names are Swayman and McAvoy and Pastrnak, Lindholm.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of money, and Marchand, I expect them to play. Marchand, yeah. Like, 100%. They make a lot of money, and I expect them to play well, and they're not playing well enough right now.
We have a little bit of breaking news. Don't hit the sounder.
Ooh.
Adam Vinatieri will be the Week 8 Keeper of the Light for the New England Patriots when they get smoked by the New York Jets.
Famed Indianapolis Colt Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
Played more of his career in Indy than in New England, Adam Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to... Can I ask why? Like, isn't there usually kind of a tie-in or a, I don't know, is there a reason? Is there an anniversary? Is there a specific?
I'm not aware of one.
So it's just like,
that's
hey,
not
available?
Added in the tweet. It just says that we think it's a good time to announce the goat emoji is coming back. At Adam Vinatieri will be our Week 8 Keeper of the Light. And then there's a graphic of Vinatieri with no helmet on, but he's wearing his jersey and jersey pants. I don't know when this picture's from. He's gone very gray, hasn't he? Isn't Adam Vinatieri, like, basically, like, white hair at this point?
Well, yeah, but he's also gone very Joey Sly. He's jacked.
I know he's jacked, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But in this picture, his hair looks pretty dark, so I'd imagine it's
a little older.
But it also, it's hard to say. He's a kicker. You don't know what kind of pads he's wearing.
Well, they're doing, like, much like that Guns N' Roses song I just played yesterday. They're looking into the past and just trying to get any kind of spark to get the fans into it, you know?
Agreed. I think that's probably
going to do it.
Get a little pop there from Adam Vinatieri.
No disrespect to him. I love him. He's a Hall of Fame kicker. I believe he's going to go in the Hall of Fame next summer. I think he'll be part of this year's class, and he deserves to be. So make sure you vote that way.
Might be the biggest cheer you hear all day.
No.
For Adam Vinatieri.
They're going to be cheering the best quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to keep upping it.
Best quarterback in the history of the NFL. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll continue with our Patriots discussion. Not so much this Adam Vinatieri thing, but the coaching experience in the locker room, something that has now become a big point of contention, something Adam Schefter talked with us about yesterday, and we'll get to that next.